This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Alva Noe is a professor of philosophy at UC Berkeley with a background in cognitive and brain science. So it makes sense that he writes about the nature of consciousness and human experience. Noe's new book, Strange Tools, Art and Human Nature, explores how art can make us think about life in new ways. Noe talked to KALW's Jen Chien about what art means to us humans and why we make it.
So your new book, Strange Tools, Art and Human Nature, delves into some really deep questions about the nature of art and the importance of art. I know as a philosopher, it's your job to go into those hard questions, but what is it about art specifically that draws you?
I grew up in a family of artists. I've always been surrounded by art and have always had a sense that art was important. I then went into philosophy and studied a lot of science and cognitive science. And the area that I found myself working in within sort of philosophy had to do with the nature of perception and consciousness. And through a number of routes, I started thinking about the way art is in some sense a setting in which to investigate perception and consciousness and human experience. One of the sort of driving ideas in the book is the thought that art is a kind of research, which is not a new idea in the art world, but it was kind of a new idea to me. And I started asking myself, well, what kind of research is it? Mm-hmm. And I came upon the thought that, well, in some ways, although it doesn't quite look like it's the sort of thing that I'm doing, art is a philosophical practice. In some sense, philosophy is an artistic one.
The name of the book is Strange Tools. Why, can you explain that, why you use that metaphor to describe art?
One of the things I'm interested in is in the way in which ordinary tool-using practices, whether it's how you hold your pencil or how you hold a fork and knife or how you drive a car or how you use email, these are objects that we use to go through life. Exactly. These technologies are not just implements. They're whole systems that organize us. And they're embedded also in functions. We use forks and knives to cut and eat, and we use pens to write. And
can I take you back just a step, please. And say you said that tools organize us.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people might think, well, we're the humans. We made them. We organize the tools. What does it mean that the tools organize us?
Well, you say humans invented it, but in some sense, if you wanted to look back through sort of the archaeological time and ask yourself, when did humans begin? Well, the best evidence we have of when we began is when there was this explosion of technological creativity about 30,000 years ago. That's when people started dressing themselves. That's when people started painting in caves. That's when people started not only making blunt instruments for banging, but started making refined tools for the making of tools for ever more specialized purposes. And there seems to be some sense in which the psychologically modern human and the presence of tools in our lives, again, using tools and technologies in this broader sense, really is essential to what it is to be human. It's not like we're over here and these things we use are over there. Mm. The history of technology, in some sense, I think, is the history of constantly changing, evolving patterns of human organization, mm-hmm. which we don't have the freedom to step out of and simply choose. I choose no longer to be influenced by language. I choose no longer to have my visual experience influenced by pictorial technology. I choose no longer to obey the traffic rules. No,
it's impossible.
It's impossible. We're inside it. I think actually one of the few ways that we can reorganize ourselves and emancipate ourselves from habit and social structure is art. And I think that one of the ways art does that, art is not one thing, obviously, but one of the ways art does that is by making things that that break with the pre-established expected functions that they're supposed to have. So it might be a picture, but you ask yourself, well, what is it showing? Or is it showing anything? Or is it always the case that a picture has to show? And what do we need to know in order to see what a picture shows us? And what is it about? And why is it about that? And why did somebody make that? And in other words, the work of art is a tool which is kind of made strange. And in being made strange, at least this is what I argue in the book, it unveils us to ourselves. It brings out all the ways in which so much is taken for granted in the rest of our lives. And I think, and this is a much harder thing to explain, but I think it not only unveils us to ourselves, but it unveils us in a way that gives us resources to be different. One of the things I'm really interested in is that process by which art reveals us to ourselves and gives us resources for changing is kind of one of the ways I would characterize what philosophy is all about, too. It's going back to my point that this is a philosophical practice. And I call them both reorganizational practices because I feel in some sense both art and philosophy are interested in taking the condition from which we start ourselves in and revealing it and then thereby altering it.
And you're going from the assumption that reorganization of ourselves or of how we see things is is a good thing. It's a betterment of us as humans.
It's not as though I think through art we progress, but I do think through art we change. And the impulse to change, or the impulse to release ourselves from the structures in which we find ourselves, is a really powerful one that we have.
As humans.
As humans. One of the images I have is that our lives are these complex nestings of organization within organization, of which we are not individually the author. And we're kind of lost, and being lost is kind of anxious. And so the human existential predicament wants to get some kind of a sense of where we are. Mm. And the very fact of getting a sense of where you are changes your relationship to the world. That's what I meant before when I said it doesn't sort of remove structure altogether or take you out of it. For instance, one of the things I'm very interested in is choreography. And the question of what choreography's relation to dancing is.
Uh-huh. Right. You make a distinction between dancing itself and the art of dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's exactly the distinction I'm interested in. I'm interested in the way in which dancing is sort of choreography's raw materials, or the art of dancing's raw materials. And what's interesting to me about that is we are dancers. We human beings, we dance. We dance spontaneously. Dancing is an expression of our intelligence. Dancing is an expression of our competence.
It's a very primal thing that we do.
I think that's right. Uh-huh. And it also is bound up with all sorts of functions. People dance to celebrate. They dance to release. They dance to show themselves. They dance to make friends. They dance to seduce.
Mating rituals.
Exactly. All of that. Uh-huh. So dancing is caught up with all of that. And then you have these people that come along and say, well, let's extract it from that natural setting and put it on a stage or perform it. Let's now show it. Let's display it. So what's being done is not just more dancing. It's dancing displayed, dancing revealed, dancing investigated, or ourselves displayed. One of the things which is remarkable is in a community where there is choreography, by which I mean where there are sort of shared representations of what dancing looks like, whether it's in the form of James Brown or Baryshnikov, in a world in which there is choreography, that loops back down and affects the way people dance at parties and by themselves and in mating rituals, so that art ends up growing out of a first-order fact about the way we're organized by dancing, in my terminology, but then loops back down and changes the way we're organized. For the better? I don't know, but the change is definite. Even by yourself, in your most, I mean, I shouldn't make a presumption about you personally, but even by yourself in your room, completely in the most private moment, if you start to boogie, your boogieing will be citing all sorts of images you have of what dancing is, I believe.
Citing, you mean like quoting?
Sampling, quoting, things
that I've seen or things that I've experienced that I know to be danced.
Become this kind of entangled, looping, sometimes philosophers speak of sedimented thing that over historical time evolves and changes, and we evolve and change through it.